Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, I want us to start off here, our message time together, with a little bit of participation. So you're going to see some things up here on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to make a choice. You're going to have to make a judgment here on something of which is better, all right? So the first thing we have here, Coke or Pepsi? Just call it out. Yeah, okay, all right. Next, what do we got here? We've got, she would rather have, which is more healthy, fries or a salad? You guys are definitely wrong. All right. Now, if you have a brand new car, how many of you guys have gotten a new car recently? You want to keep it pristine? Maybe it's a really nice sports car or something. Do you want to ride on this kind of road, or do you want to ride on this kind of road? Yeah. Okay. Anybody who said this, there's something wrong with you. Okay. Now, this one, which is better? You got to make a choice between a cat or a dog. Apparently, we really, really don't like cats around here. All right. Now, you got something wrong with your teeth. What do you want to do? Do you want to go to this kind of dentist? Look at the smiling. Look at how great, gentle she looks. Or do you want to go to this kind of dentist? You want neither? Yes, right? That'd be my answer too, right? You get to get a house, any house you want. You can choose either this house, the very famous Home Alone house, so beautiful, so pristine. Or would you rather get the psycho house? And then, of course, there's only one right answer to this, right? Is it going to be Purdue or is it going to be IU? Wow, those are fighting words. All right. We are faced with choices every day of our lives. Some of those are choices between good and great. Some are better and best. Some are right and wrong. But we make judgments every day. Well, we're getting towards the end of our message here with the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus has been teaching his most famous sermon ever in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to be today. But where we are here in this is probably one of the most quoted passages of Scripture. There are statistics that say at one time the most famous Bible passage was John 3:16. We're all familiar with that, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But something has happened over the last decade or so. And statistics are now showing that the most quoted Bible verse is the one we're going to read today in Matthew chapter 7. It's often the most quoted by those who don't even know anything about the Bible, often quoted by those who are not Christians. But it's a passage of Scripture that Jesus is going to walk us through this morning that talks about judging. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "Don't judge me"? Yeah. We say that to each other. Often others say that, and they often will quote this scripture from Jesus saying, Christians, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge. Jesus said so. And often that's used as a blanket license to just do whatever, as we're going to see today. But I want us to read this passage of scripture today. We'll pray, and then we're going to dive into it. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. This is Jesus' words. Remember, he had just got done talking about worry. We talked about that last week. But worrying about tomorrow, worrying about our finances, worrying about the things of this world. And he says these words in verse 1, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judged, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Let's pray together. God, I ask this morning that as we look at these often misunderstood and misquoted words of yours, that you would help speak to us, Lord, the words that you want us to hear, that we would open our hearts to hear what you intended in these passages and what you didn't, and that we may be people, Lord, who live out your will
to the people around us and in our own lives. God bless our time here together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church together said, amen. So we're in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 1. You'll see it up here. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Is Jesus telling us, as often people will say in this verse, that we are never to make judgments? That's unlikely. In fact, it's impossible. Even with some of the fun we had at the beginning of the message here, it's impossible for us to go through life and not make judgments, to not have something that we would determine right and wrong. I mean, to navigate life without judgments would be chaos. Imagine a world where we didn't judge right from wrong. There'd be theft, lying, murder, all sorts of terrible things. We would just say, well, you can't judge me. Don't judge me. Even in the world today, we will often hear people say that when we judge, when we make judgments, we are hindering love. And Jesus is going to show us how that's not the case at all. If we ignore judgment altogether, we open ourselves up to harm and let people walk blindly into danger. Speaking of the word judge, in the book of Judges in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, God's chosen people, had gone astray. And they were living without right or wrong. And here's what this says in Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. And the king there established what was right and wrong. And it says, all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. That sounds great. As a child, maybe you want to say, I want to do whatever I want. But parents, we know that life won't work well if we live that way, will it? Just do whatever is right in our own eyes. So what is Jesus getting at? This passage isn't prohibiting making judgments, but it is teaching us not to pass judgment. And there's a difference. He's telling us to avoid the spirit of condemnation, to condemn others. Jesus is warning us about the dangers of judging others with harshness, and he's going to go on later to use this word that he's used often in the Sermon on the Mount, hypocrisy. And with this, Jesus isn't just concerned with what we do. As we've seen throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he's concerned with how we do it. As we've been going through Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, we have seen time and time again how we have to make judgments. Judgments between adultery, judgments between murder and anger, judgments between stealing, lying, all of these things require us to make judgments. So Jesus wants to address something deeper. And there's a heart root issue that he's getting at here, as he is in all of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. It's our desire to put ourselves in God's place. It's a warning about playing God. He says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. This is a caution to avoid what we often would call a double standard, right? When we judge others harshly, but excuse our own flaws, putting ourselves on God's throne. Here's something we need to understand. You are not God. That's a newsflash for some of us, isn't it? We want to be God. We want to decide not only what's right and wrong, but the motives of others as well. And we are not God. We do this when we say things, maybe not out loud. Most of us have learned not to do that, but within our hearts of, I know this. I know this about this person. I know this about the situation, so let me be the judge. Here's some ways that this plays out in our life. If we say the words, bless her heart, she shouldn't be wearing that. She's just trying to get attention. Or maybe you take a screenshot of someone else's post and you send it to your friends and family and say something like, can you believe they would do and say this? Can you believe that? They must fill in the blank. Or we're coming up in an election. How many of us would say, I can't believe they voted that way. They must not be a real Christian. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, do not judge by the outward appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. Jesus isn't saying in this, do not judge, that there is no way that we should ever make judgments. He's saying, do not be judgmental. And when you do make judgments, use righteous judgment. Now, this becomes harder and harder for us as we spend more time in church, spend more time around Christians, reading the Bible. Because here's what happens for us. When most of us, when we become Christians, when we decide to lay down our life and follow Jesus, we know the things that we have to clean up that are on the outside, right? The habits that we have, the way we might behave physically to others. Sometimes even our appearance we might try to change in an attempt to live a holy life. And that's good and that's honorable. But what happens is it's easy for us to clean up the outside but forget what's going on in the inside. And this is what Jesus has been warning about the entire Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, he's often talking to this group he calls the Pharisees. Those are the religious leaders, the people who had become experts at cleaning up the outside, but they hadn't bothered with what was going on in the inside. And what was happening was they were comparing their outsides to others without comparing their insides to others. And they were making judgments at people. When Jesus is saying, the outward is important, it matters, but you have to clean the inside. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore you have no excuse. This is Paul talking. He says, you foolish person, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that matter in which you judge someone else, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. It's a double standard. And it's a stark reminder that all of us fall short, right? None of us are perfect. But the double standards happen when we judge someone else for a fault that we carry ourselves. The Pillar New Testament commentary says on this passage, this great sentence, it says, to be quick to call others to account is to invite God to call us to account. And here's another truth we need to understand. That often what bothers us most in others reveals what's broken in us. Let that sink in for a minute. What often bothers us, the things that we are quick to judge in others, are often the very things that reveal what's broken within us. Now, Jesus wants us to understand what he means by do not judge, so he gives us an illustration. And I know we don't often think about Jesus as being funny, but this is an instance where we can clearly see that Jesus has a sense of humor. Because here he is talking, and he uses this great illustration, right? Last week we used some weights and a backpack. We got a plank this morning. What does it say in verse 3? Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log or the plank, your Bible might say, that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in our own eye? Jesus is trying to make a point here. How stupid is this? This looks ridiculous, right? Somebody wondering, is he just going to do the rest of the sermon with this log sticking out of his eye, all right? Now, there's some things that happen when you have this log in your eye. Now, Jesus isn't saying, well, you know what, don't judge. You got your plank, someone else has got a speck. Just walk around with planks and specks, no problem. Everybody just make their way walking around here. Yeah, that's not what he's saying. And nor is he saying that this isn't a message talking about the difference between sin, right? That one is greater than the other. That's not the point he's making. Now, this is more noticeable than a speck in your eye, but which one's more painful? Both are equally painful, right? If you've ever gotten something, even something small, stuck in your eye, this happens to my wife all the time. It's a chronic issue for her. She gets things stuck in her eye and little things, and she starts to tear up, and they're so painful. This isn't about the level of sins. Like, well, you have a great sin and your brother or sister, they don't have a great sin. He's saying, no, there's something else going on here. How can you deal with the sin in someone else's life when you've got this log in your own? He isn't saying that one is more important than the other. See, what happens when we try to judge others with planks in our eye? You're walking around with a plank in your eye? First of all, it blinds us. We've got this sin in our lives, and so we can't clearly see anything. I can make out about half the room right now, And my depth perception is really messed up. And if I was trying to walk around like this, it would be really hard for me to see. So this log in my own eye, this plank in my own eye, it blinds me. But it does something else as well. It hurts others. If I'm to walk around with this, just swinging my plank around, hey, I want to talk to you over here, I'm going to break this TV. I could do all sorts of things with this dangerous plank in my eye. Jesus is saying, no, if you have a plank in your own eye, not only does it blind you to what's really happening, but it hurts others. And we see how this plays out all the time. Us wounding others with our own sins. It blinds us. It hurts others. But something else happens when we have these planks in our eye. It keeps us distant from others. I can't get close to anyone when I have this plank in my eye, not without hurting them. There's no way I can get close to someone when I'm trying to make a judgment or to help or to correct, because this is in the way. So what happens when you try to judge others with planks in our eyes? It blinds us, it hurts others, and it keeps us distant from others. Instead of building connections, it breeds resentment, because no one wants to get hit with this. As you try to come in to correct someone, to help someone, no matter what your intention might be. But we can't just walk around with planks in our eyes, right? We know this isn't going to work. And if we really love our neighbors, we don't want them to suffer even with a speck in their eye. As I said, they're just as painful, sometimes more. So what do we do? Jesus doesn't say, well, don't judge, just walk around, just forget it, let it go. He says, no, in verse 5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Jesus isn't saying never make judgments. He's saying there's a right way to do this, and first you have to take the plank out of your own eye. Removing our plank allows us to see with compassion, not condemnation. And it gives us the humility and the clarity, because it's no longer is our vision being obscured. It gives us the clarity to judge rightly. And we can approach others with a clean and sincere heart, not full of hypocrisy. So what happens when we remove our planks? We can see clearly. Our perspective shifts from fault finding to genuine concern. Trust is built. People are no longer worried about getting whacked around with this plank in their eyes, but they see that you've removed it yourself. How many times when someone approaches you with something, are you going to react different if they approach this? And I can't believe that you did this, as opposed to, I once struggled with this same thing, but here's how I overcame it. Which one builds trust with people? And if what else happens when we remove this plank is we can get close enough to help, but gently. There's no longer danger of hitting people upside the head with the plank that's in our own eye, but we can move in close, in relationship, and gently help that person remove that speck. If every time Angie got one of those specks, I just came in with tweezers or something and just ran towards her face and tried to grab it, she's going to walk away, right? And that's not going to be helpful. But what do? We lovingly, gentle, pull down, work gently to help remove that speck from someone's eye. It's delicate. Years ago when I was in college, I developed a really big problem with my eyes and it swelled up really big, and I had to go to the doctor, and they came to find out that I had an ulcer in my cornea. And the doctor said, we're going to take care of this right now. We're going to have surgery. Oh, I thought, what? And he gently put my head in this thing and turned off the lights, just a little light so he could see, and gently with this needle pulled my eyelid back and performed that surgery. I was scared out of my mind, but he was gentle. And he removed that obstacle in my eye, not with force, but with gentleness and compassion. And as soon as the surgery was over, they didn't turn on the lights and say, okay, here you go. No, they kept the lights down. And I had to, for the next several days, be in darkness. That's how we help those who need correction. If we remove the plank from our own eye, we can clearly see. Trust is built, and we can get close enough to gently help. This helps us understand what Jesus meant when he said, do not judge. See, we are to help correct those who need correcting, but there is a right way. Galatians 6:1 says this, brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well. Notice the word here, caught. This isn't about like catching, aha, I caught you in the act. That's not the kind of caught we're talking about here. It's more like being caught in a web. Someone is caught in a trap that's killing them, and you are there to help gently. It says with gentleness. Those who you are spiritual, those who have been changed by God, those who have removed the planks from their own eyes can clearly see to gently correct that person. 2 Timothy 2:24 says this, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient with difficult people, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. That's making a judgment, isn't it? It's not passing judgment, but it's making a judgment. And perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. They will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. See, as we grow to be more like Jesus, that's what part of our definition of being a disciple here is, to become more like Jesus. As we do that, we should be more critical of our own sins. As we get to know God better, we see not just the stuff on the outside, but the planks of our heart that have to be removed, the things that need to be changed inside us. And that helps clear our vision to allow us to help others. As we grow in this, we become more and more aware of our own logs in our own eyes. Paul tells this several times in scriptures. He's talking about that he calls himself the chief of sinners. You think this guy who is so filled with the Holy Spirit, is so spiritual, is so godly, but as he grows in godliness, he sees more and more of his own heart that needs to be changed. He's not just worried about cleaning up the outside, but cleaning up the inside as well. And as we grow more and more in this, when we come across brothers or sisters who need a bit of loving assistance with a speck in their eye, we're ready to help. See, as we grow more like Jesus, we see more of the sin that's within ourselves, and we can make judgments sometimes on others' actions, but not on their motives. Because remember, we are not God. I'm reminded of the great philosopher from the 70s and 80s, Michael Jackson, who sang a song that I hope every time you hear reminds you of this verse. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, right? I'm asking him to change his ways. It has to start with us, removing the logs out of our own eyes before we can clearly see, before we can be of any help, before we can gently correct those who need it. Ultimately, growing in Christ means that we grow to be more like him and less like ourselves. It means addressing the man or the woman in the mirror before we call someone else to account. When we allow God to examine us in that mirror, we develop humility to help others with grace. Not just barrel them with the truth, but truth alongside grace. Now, Jesus ends this section with a thought that helps us understand this meaning. And it might be confusing at first, but it really helps us understand what he meant all along by do not judge. To help us understand, it doesn't just mean don't ever make judgments. Verse 6, he says, do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before pigs, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. We're going to leave this verse up here for a little bit. What happens in order for us to decide if someone is a dog or if something is a pig? We have to make a judgment, right? Jesus, isn't saying don't ever make judgments. He's saying discern. Discern. Now, when we think of dogs today, we think of cute pets like in that picture. And obviously, most of you are dog people. But that's not what Jesus means by dogs here. Dogs in first century Palestine area in there, that was not these cute, cuddly, fluffy dogs. They were scavengers. They were dogs that would just run around wild, eating often people. The discards of human remains, whatever it might be. And pigs, they're just as bad now as they were then. And he's saying, Jesus is saying there are times when we need to use our discernment to lead us to draw boundaries. We can judge wisely and still not choose to waste what is holy on those who would trample it. Sometimes it's better for you not to try to remove that speck from someone's eye. Some people are not ready to hear truth or correction. And our time, our energy, and our love, Jesus is saying they're precious, they're pearls. It's holy. We need to use discernment. So to those who might say, the scripture says, don't judge me. Or if you often hear someone say, if you wouldn't judge me, that's actually what's loving. Let's look at this verse again. And understand that love sometimes involves making judgments. Love sometimes involves gentle correction. But love never involves passing judgments or playing God, condemning. Romans 12:9 says, love must be free of hypocrisy. Your version might say sincere. This word does mean the opposite of hypocrisy. Love must be free of hypocrisy. You can't have the log in your own eye. Detest what is evil, cling to what is good. And what is good is Jesus. We can take the example of loving the unlovable, spending time eating with sinners as we see Jesus did, calling the world around him, gently correcting them as they become more and more Christ-like in the world that we live in, as we try to become more and more Christ-like. As we keep our eyes focused on him, we begin to function in the world more like he did. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you have questions about how you could live a life that would allow you to have freedom from judgment, from the ultimate judgment, you can have that in Jesus Christ. We are all going to face the ultimate judgment, not the judgment of each other, but the judgment of our Heavenly Father. I don't want to face it on my own. I want to the day I stand before the ultimate judgment, have Jesus next to me saying, no, I've taken care of all that. If that isn't you and you want to know more about that, I encourage you during this next song in our prayer room here, right on the right, we're going to have some people in there. We'd love to talk with you and pray with you. If you yourself realize that you've been judgmental of others, that you've been living a life playing God, I encourage you, even in the quietness of your own heart, in your seat this morning, to ask God for forgiveness for that. To have him help you remove the plank from your own eye so that you can help those around you. I want to ask us to stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song of invitation. God, I ask this morning that as we, your people, realize, Lord, that there is right or wrong, but it's not our place to play God, that you would open our hearts, Lord, to the ways that we have allowed a condemning nature to be part of who we are. Lord, for many of us who have been Christians for a long time, we've cleaned up the outside, but we haven't done anything about the inside, and we judge other people when inside us, Lord, we've got so much junk, so many planks that are keeping us from doing what you've called us to do, from being the people that you want us to be. And so, Lord, help us remove those planks. Help us to come before you humbly and recognize that we are not the judge. Lord, that we are the people who have been free from judgment. Help us to live and love as those people, helping the people that have specks around us, that we could help correct each other in gentleness and love, free of hypocrisy. God, we thank you that no matter what we've gone through in life, that you are walking through it with us, that that there is, as the scripture says, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Help us to rest on that truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.